Well, good morning, everybody. Again, it's great to be here with you today. Does anybody know what today is? Groundhog's Day. I was hoping somebody would be like, Sunday! You wouldn't be wrong, but it's Groundhog's Day. Today is a day where we wait for Al Roker to tell us whether or not Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow or not. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow this morning, and so we are due for 6 more weeks of winter. But has anybody here ever made that pilgrimage to see Punxsutawney Phil? A couple hands. That's cool. How about on Groundhog's Day? Who has ever been in Punxsutawney on Groundhog's Day? Yeah. I have some friends who serve in Punxsutawney, and so the question about having church on today is a very real question. And it's not that parishioners are going to, they're going to be up at Gobbler's Knob. It's just that Punxsutawney swells to over 20,000 people, and it's impossible to get around. And so how do people get to church when they can't get to church? And so I'm kind of curious how things played out in Punxsutawney. But I have never been to Punxsutawney on Groundhog's Day. But I have seen the movie Groundhog Day by starring Bill Murray. If you've never seen the movie, you need to see it, especially on a day like today. It is a modern day classic. Bill Murray plays a weatherman by the name of Phil Connors, who's on assignment going to Punxsutawney, and he's not happy with it, right? Because he's a professional weatherman, and he's got to go see whether this groundhog says there's going to be snow or not. He does not like it. He says, "I don't get my weather forecast from a rat," is his words. And in the midst of the broadcast, he says, "This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather." He's not happy at all. And for whatever reason, if you haven't seen the movie, Phil Connors, Bill Murray, is forced to replay February 2nd over and over and over and over and over again. It just is this never-ending cycle. He cannot break free from February 2nd. And in talking about this, he says, "You want a prediction about the weather? You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's going to be cold, it's going to be gray, and it's going to last you the rest of your life." And it's a funny movie. It is really kind of campy. But in many ways, it is something that we all experience. We all seem to get stuck in certain seasons in our life. We get stuck on the treadmill of life and just can't seem to get off. It feels like we repeat the same day over and over again, and we look around and we're like, how did I get here? Or more importantly, how do I get out of here? We ask the question, why? And why does it seem like everybody else is so happy when I am struggling? God, why is this happening to me? And I almost wonder if the writers of Groundhog Day weren't reading Psalm 73 when they came up with the idea. Psalm 73 begins with these words. The psalmist writes, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone." The writer of Psalm 73 is a man by the name of Asaph, and we don't know an awful lot about Asaph, but it's believed that he lived around the time of Nehemiah. Asaph wrote a number of the Psalms. He wrote Psalm 50 and Psalms 73 through 83. By all accounts, Asaph was a man of faith. He served in the temple. He wrote Psalms that we continue to read today. And what I appreciate about Asaph is his honesty before God. He wrestles with some of the very issues that we wrestle with today. The first 12 verses, Asaph seems to be bewildered by the apparent prosperity of the wicked. He writes, I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. Can anybody else relate to that? Or am I the only one who's ever asked that question? Because it isn't just a case of green-eyed envy. Why is it, Asaph is asking, why is it that people who are outside of the family of faith seem to prosper? Why do they have it so good? And if we're not careful, these same thoughts can consume us. Because it is so very easy for us to do the exact same thing. We look around and we wonder, why, God, is my life so hard? Why is it so hard when it seems so easy for everyone else? Whenever we begin to compare ourselves to others, it very easily leads to feelings of inadequacy and insecurity and jealousy and discontentment. It hinders our spiritual growth. Whenever we're busy, you know, looking around at everybody else, it diverts our focus away from Jesus. And it causes us to become disconnected from the source of our fulfillment. It can almost be seen as a form of ego-driven thinking that obstructs true spiritual development. You know, Asaph continues in this passage, and he says, you know, not only do the arrogant seem to live at ease, but they flaunt their wickedness. They wear pride like a necklace, Psalm 73:6. They mock and speak maliciously about others, verse 8. They mock God, speaking against heaven, and denying that God knows everything, verses 9 and 11. By their very lives, these people seem to be calling out to all of us, hey, followers of God, why are you wasting your time? I care nothing about him. I live as I please, and I am doing just fine. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what happens to us when we focus upon what everybody else is getting, how everybody else is living. Asaph writes, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Now, before I go any further this morning, I want to say that if you are in the midst of struggle right now, especially with thoughts like these, you are not alone. That's one of the things I love about God's word, is that it is real and honest. Here you have one of the writers, one of the psalmists, one of the people who are writing songs of praise to God, sharing some very real feelings about how he is struggling. And there is no rebuke from God recorded. Asaph wasn't struck dead by a bolt of lightning. I think sometimes we get the feeling that we are bad because we feel bad. There are some very real issues going on right now. There are some very real issues that are going on right now in the life of our church. There are people stuck in this cycle. It's not wrong and it's not sinful. Now, Asaph didn't hide his feelings from God. He was honest about his confusion and his frustration. You know, when you are upset and feel like God has let you down, bring your struggles to Him in prayer. He already knows it. God is not afraid of your concerns. He's not troubled by your disappointments. In fact, it is far better for you to pour out your anger and anxieties to God through prayer than to bury them inside and turn to sin. Our God is a loving God who invites people to be real with Him so that He can be real with us. He knows that these types of feelings will drag us down, and God wants us to be free. He wants us to get out of our own Groundhog's Day and experience the kind of life that He is. So God does for Asaph what He wants to do for each one of us. Asaph said, "And then I went into your sanctuary." Now God invites us in. And if we will allow ourselves to make that show of trust, God will be God and do what only God can do. When I think of my own spiritual journey, I remember moments like these. You know, I'd share with you before that I dropped out of seminary. After my first semester, I was angry at God. I'd always been a good boy. And so why was I struggling? For goodness sakes, I was in seminary studying to become a pastor. And so why was all this stuff happening? Why was I dealing with health issues and financial issues and educational issues? Nothing was going right. In seminary, God, doesn't that count for something? So I ran. I didn't want to have anything to do with God. Then I entered into the sanctuary of God. I shared with you before, you know, riding the motorcycle, no radio, hymns would come back in my mind and I would get mad at God. I don't want to sing that song in my head. God's like, "You're going to sing it." "Great is your faithfulness" was one of them. Came back into the sanctuary of God. God reminded me of so much. I was only looking at myself and my issues. God wanted me to look at Him. When I did, things began to change. It wasn't overnight. It didn't happen quickly. God is faithful. And I understood what Asaph meant when he wrote, "I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish, so arrogant, so ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you." The NIV, which Kirsten read from just a little bit ago, says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." And that's sometimes how it is with us. Right? We can be a bunch of brute beasts who only think of terms of me and my. Brute beasts act on instinct and self-preservation, having no concept of some other way to live. It's like, me no like, me want my way. John 14, when Jesus is gathering with his disciples for what would be his last meal, says to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid." Because this is what God wants for us. He wants us to experience His peace. The understanding that no matter what, God, that if the worst possible thing happens, God that if you want to get out of your own personal Groundhog's Day, God. And I wish it meant that our circumstances would change, that all of the devastating things that we deal with would suddenly disappear, that if we would follow God, our lives would be a bowl of cherries. It's not that way. You and I are going to walk through difficult times, horrific times. We're going to walk through agonizing times. We're going to walk through times where we will wonder if we will ever be able to breathe again. And God will be with you every step of the way. Asaph realizes this and he writes, "Yet still I belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire more than anything on earth. I desire you more than anything on earth. My heart, my health may fail. My spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart, mine forever." Although the movie Groundhog Day is 32 years old at this point, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to share the ending with you. Phil finally stops being Phil-centric. And he learns that only focusing upon himself and his problems have trapped him to continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Then he changes. And he says, when it becomes February 3rd, he says, "Do you know what today is? Today is tomorrow. It happened." Church, God offers you tomorrow. He offers you a life where you will walk with him hand in hand. Good days, bad days, downright awful days. You need to stop being a bunch of brute beasts. Say with Asaph, "My flesh and my heart may fail. God is the strength of my heart. My portion forever." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful again for your word. Thank you for Asaph's honesty and how he struggled with the world and justice. God, we do the same. Remind us, bring us back into your sanctuary so that we can remember. We can remember who it is who walks with us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray.